For the kids, I've given out paper and something to draw with. I want you to draw yourself. How do you see yourself? Because today's sermon is titled, how'd they put it? Living Before God. And part of living before God is knowing who you are and how you envision yourself. So, I'm going to read Romans 12, 1 through 8. Message. So here's what I want you to do. God helping you. Take your everyday, ordinary life. Your sleeping, your eating, going to work, and walking around life. And place it before God as an offering. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing you can do for God. Don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out. Readily recognize what God wants from you and quickly respond to it. Unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity, God brings the best out in you and develops well-formed maturity in you. I'm speaking to you out of deep gratitude for all that God has given me, and especially as I have responsibility and relationship to you. Living then as every one of you does, in pure grace, it's important that you not misinterpret yourselves as people who are bringing this goodness to God. No, God brings it all to you. The only accurate way to understand ourselves is by what God is and by what God does for us, not by what we are and what we do for God. Let me just reread that one, just help you out a little bit. The most accurate way to understand ourselves is by what God is and by what God does for us, not by what we are and what we do for God. And it goes on. I'm going to stop there. There are certain times you should just stop, and that seemed like a great stopping moment.
I agree.
I said I was going to 8. Too bad. There's always a Bible around you can go with. I remember in the past, did I ever tell you I had this one Bible at home that I can find almost anything? I've read it so many times. I can say, oh, it's in this one, and it's on one side of the page. And it's like, it's in this book. There it is. I'll find it. I've had this 40 years, maybe?
Wow.
And I've read it and read it and read it. And my dogs have chewed on it.
They were just trying to get the word out.
They were just trying to get to the word, and I mean, I've got dog help on me, you know. I was like, but and it's well worn. I mean, not just before that. It's an amazing thing. And Romans 12:1-2. This is the RSV. I was raised in a Methodist church, so RSV just seems to be the one I've gone to. But I love the Message just as well. And the Message does a good job of explaining this. But this is what I memorized way back when. I appeal to you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that you may prove what the will of God is and what is good and acceptable and perfect. I love that part. I mean, the Message does an excellent job at, you know, abandoning some things, right? Abandoning your life. Figuring out what God wants and heading that way. Let's see if I can find my notes. So, I was going through and I was like, well, I need to, you know, just take notes on some of these because there's some very good points in here. And I want to make sure you got them. And it says, my everyday ordinary life. I'm like, okay, what is my everyday ordinary life? I don't know about yours, but I get up in the morning and take the dogs out. And while they're out, they let me go to the bathroom. There's certain things that come first, and that's not me going to the restroom first. All right. They go out first, and then I can do that. You know how urgent that is in the mornings.
Yes.
But I love my dogs, and I let them come first. So, and then I usually eat breakfast, take a shower, go to work, drive to work. Go to work all day. Water cooler. Anybody get a water cooler discussion, especially on Monday mornings, right? You got your water cooler discussions sometimes off and on throughout the day. Hey, how's your weekend? How's this? How's that? Whatever. Okay, you got a little water cooler in there. Get a little lunch. Usually my lunch, because I'm the office manager, means I have to run errands for the work. Means I got to go to the bank for this or do that or whatever. It's like, it's not, I work through lunch. Usually if I go home to let the dogs out, I can grab a sandwich and eat it on my way back out the door. It's really not a good way to eat your lunch, but that's lunch. Then I drive home and I go back to work, work some more, go home, fix, let the dogs out again, fix dinner, and then, believe it or not, I catch up with relatives quite often after work. Okay. Every Tuesday night now for I don't know how many years, I've called my Uncle Stanley. He's 90. And him and I talk every Tuesday night. It's a standing, it's on my calendar. Oh, and everybody that knows me now knows that, especially when they say, well, after you talk to your Uncle Stanley, can we do something? I say, yeah, we can. It was a Tuesday night activity. They all know it's going to happen after I talk to my Uncle Stanley. So it's really great. And all my cousins, you know it. Everybody knows it. They, you know, that's what happens. And it's really good. Uh-oh. And then I'll probably, and then here's the bad part. Okay? Here's where I can tell that I am not living my life like these verses say. Why? Because I sit down usually, watch TV, play toss with the dogs in the house, and play games on my phone. That is just not, is there anything about that that helps me get to know God better? Absolutely nothing. TV, I'm not watching a religious channel or any of that. I mean, we're talking, the normal junk like, Designing Women or, for reruns or Will and Grace or and we wouldn't want to forget the Golden Girls.
Or the Real Housewives of Atlanta.
Oh heck no, I don't watch that one. And we wouldn't want to forget, Hot in Cleveland, so obviously these are not uplifting to God. But yes, I've been drugged down. It's like a certain time I get tired, I go to bed. And I'm thinking, oh my gosh, here's this beautiful verse that I used to live by and try so hard to make sure some part of my day had God in it. Specifically, purposely, I had put God in it. And I have not done that in a while. It's like, oh, that's not good. Because I need God purposely in it, and it's amazing. Are you ready? When I have these migraine cycles, and it's called a chronic migraine, it comes and stays. It's like having a headache every day. Some days are worse than others. The light sensitivity this time has been throughout the whole thing, it seems. It started in July and has been going on for over a month, probably 5-6 weeks now. So, But you know what I've realized? The night I sat down and was putting this sermon together, I was having time with God. I slept so good that night. I slept good. Because it's hard to sleep when you're in pain. If anybody ever tried to sleep, it's really, it's tossing and turning. It's not a good, I slept good the night I spent time with God. Wow. And I'm thinking, you all need to know that.
Yeah.
Because it's amazing what God can do if you bring him into your life. And I've gotten into a rut. I've been drugged down. Remember, that's what I said. Don't be drugged down. I love that part of the message. Don't be drugged down by the everyday life of the world. Don't become well-adjusted to your culture. I have. My culture's sit down, watch TV, eat, go to bed. I've been drugged down by my culture. Instead, fix my attention on God. Because fixing your attention on God is a blessing. It changes it from the inside out. It's not from the outside in, it's from inside of you out. Even the littlest thing like a good night's sleep because I focused on God that day. I purposely took it. Yes, God will give you rest. And he did. It's an amazing, amazing thing. So well adjusted to my culture that I fit into it without thinking, and I did. So, now, how do we fix our eyes, our heart, and our ears on God? Isn't that the next part? Fixing our attention on God. One, God gives every one of us gifts. Mine's teaching. So I love it when I get the chance to come here and teach once a month on Sundays. Woohoo! I love it. Because that's my gift and I get to share it with all of you. God uses me and I'm very grateful to have been used. I need to read the Bible once a day, even if it's only one verse. Here, I'm so proud. I've got the Bible on my phone, but I seldom bring it up unless it's Sunday. That's not good. And they have a daily verse on there. I need to what? At least once a day, open the good book and read. Or find some way to get a verse a day so I at least have God, what, in front of my eyes. And then service. We need to do what? What God says for us to do. And what are the things? And Matthew 22. I love Matthew 22. It's one of our key verses. And I'm going to read it in the RSV because that's the one I have with me. I forgot to mark it. 37 is over here, right? It's all underlined. And Jesus said to them, because this, someone asked him, what should we do? What's the greatest command? Because, you know, we got all these 600 plus in the Jewish community. What's the greatest command? And Jesus replied and said, you shall love your God, the Lord your God, with all your heart, with all your soul, and all your mind. This is the greatest, the first and the greatest commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commands is everything. So, one, love God. That means what? Spend time with him. Two, love those around you. And how do we do that? Well, you know how to do that. That's the other verse we have from Matthew 25. You saw me hungry and you fed me. You saw me thirsty and you gave me drink. You saw me in need of clothing, and you helped clothe me. You saw me sick or in jail, and you visited me. Isn't that what we're supposed to do? So I encourage you, if nothing else, to read Romans 1 and 2. Just those two verses, because it's overwhelming, the change it can have. Take your everyday, ordinary life. Your sleeping, eating, going to work, and walking around life. And place it before God. Actively take the action to place it. It just doesn't happen, folks. Placing something. If I place this pen, I can't just do that. I didn't place it. It ended up on the floor, and I wanted to place it on the table. So that isn't going to happen. It's an action. For me to place this pen, I have to take that action. I have to initiate my interaction with God. You have to interact. Initiate your interaction with God. You're eating and place it before God as an offering. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing you can do for God. Don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Water cooler. I love it in the morning. Did you watch Walking Dead last night? Yep, we fit into our culture. Instead, fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out. Regularly recognize what God wants from you and quickly respond to it. And I saw that spread today. You've been responding tremendously here. It's amazing what we have every week for those that come, for those that are homeless, are needing help. And unlike the culture around you, dragging you down, God will bring the best out in you and develop well-formed maturity in you. So this week, go forth and what?
Spend time with God.
Multiply. Spend time with God. Take the action to place yourself before God somehow. Read a verse a day.
Meditate.
Something. Meditate? That's up to you. But if you at least read a verse a day, you've at least taken what? The initiative. You've taken an action. You've taken a step forward. So I encourage you, go out there and spend some time with God. Amen.